Good evening.
Though we are small in number, we are way, way, way more than the two or three that we see needed in the Scripture. So we're doing well tonight. We got a good number of twos or threes gathered together. I know some of you, and particularly as you get a little bit older, sometimes you have that conversation between husband and wife or about husband and wife, you know, that I can't hear a thing he says, or I can't hear a thing she says. Maybe that's what it is. And you're trying to figure out, is it that the one can't hear or the one speaking too softly? You know, there's always that ongoing. I see some elbows going there, and so you can relate. But we're going to go to 1 Kings chapter 19 tonight. We're not going to be trying to solve that problem, by the way, but that's just my way of introduction. We're going to be looking here at a couple of verses in 1 Kings 19. Elijah has just had that great victory on Mount Carmel where he defeated the prophets of Baal. He's been threatened by Queen Jezebel of Israel, and a messenger came and said that she said by that time tomorrow his life would be gone, just like those prophets of Baal that he killed. Elijah, in despondency, ran and hid, and we can see here in chapter 19 that he just had a meal provided by an angel, actually two courses, two different times, while he slept in between. And we're going to pick up our reading, if we could, at verse 7, the second of those meals, 1 Kings 19, 7. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you." So he arose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Oreb, the mountain of God. And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" So he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Then he said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. So it was, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Then the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria, and you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. It shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill, and whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." We're familiar with this story and how Elijah was spoken to by the Lord and then told to come out of the cave, and the Lord was going to speak to him. And we know how that great and strong wind tore into the mountain and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord wasn't in the wind. He wasn't speaking through the wind. He wasn't speaking through the earthquake that followed that. He wasn't speaking through the fire, but he spoke in a still, small voice. Some translations have that, a gentle whisper. And we see in verse 13 that when Elijah heard it, Elijah heard the still, small voice of God. And when he did, he wrapped his face in his cloak and he comes out to have communication with God. See, Elijah heard the still, small voice of God, and he responded. And that response enabled Elijah to hear the Lord's instruction for him. You know, I am humbled to know that the Lord always wants to speak to me. Isn't that amazing? The Lord God of the universe, He always wants to speak to you. That's His heart. Sometimes God speaks to us in ways that are strong and they're loud. They're earth-shattering, they're awe-inspiring, and they're attention-grabbing. Sometimes God speaks to us in ways that we can hardly miss, even in our hard-headedness sometimes. Sometimes God is so strong and He's so forceful that it's almost impossible to miss His voice. But sometimes God speaks to us in a much different manner. Sometimes God speaks to us in a still, small voice. And I assume that your heart is like my heart. I don't want to miss God's still, small voice. Maybe I won't miss the loud, earth-shattering, attention-grabbing times that He speaks to me, maybe through some very difficult circumstances in my life, or a particularly powerful message from a brother, or maybe someone sharing a scripture with me that just hits me right between the eyes, and I can't miss what God is saying. But when He speaks to me in that still, small voice, when I'm inside the cave and maybe I'm despondent, maybe I'm discouraged, maybe it's a time of difficulty and challenge as Elijah was going through, but I don't want to miss what He has to say to me. And we know that today God is not going to call us out of the cave to speak audibly to us. He's given us the Word of God, 66 precious books that we have here of God speaking to us. In Hebrews 1, we read that God at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son. Of course, we know that doesn't mean that He no longer speaks to us through the prophets. He does. We have all of the Scripture. And He's speaking to us. And sometimes that message comes in a still, small voice, impressing on our hearts a particular thought from Him. How can I make sure I hear His still, small voice speaking to me like Elijah did? Well, I'm going to suggest that it requires two things. They're going to be very easy to remember. In order for me to hear the still, small voice of the Lord, I have to be still and I have to be small. So I want to hear the still, small voice of the Lord. I have to be still and I have to be small. So first of all, I must be still. I don't have to tell you how busy life is. You could tell me how busy your life is. And I look around at some people that are in college, and I know they're busy. I see some people that are housewives, and I know they're busy. I see some people that are full-time employees for a company, and I know they're busy. I see people that work part-time, and I know they're busy. I see people that are retired, and I know you're busy. I'm amazed at how busy retired people are. I remember Dick Andrews. I used to go visit him with Dick. And Dick would tell me, he said, I can't ever find these shut-ins at home. That was a little exaggeration, but even the shut-ins are busy. You know, they're probably going to the doctor eight times a week or something. So, you know, we live in a rat race. We pray for our nation, and we see it. It's just increasing the pace of the busyness of life, the noise pollution. I mean, it's coming at us all the time from everywhere. Hard to escape it. And most of us, some of us would be extreme on the ADD, attention deficit disorder side. And all of us, though, to some degree, are distracted. And God's wanting to speak to us, and we need to get still. If we're going to hear the still, small voice of God, we've got to be still. We've got to be alone at times with God. We've got to be quiet. We've got to be motionless. We see the same word in Psalm 107, verse 29, where we read that God calms the storm. He makes the storm still so that its waves are still. The Lord Jesus in Mark 4:39, we read of Him arising from sleep in the boat and rebuking the wind and saying to the sea, "Peace, be still." And He wants to still us. A word from which that word still is derived, the word from which it's derived in the Hebrew. In Exodus 15:16, it speaks of being still as a stone. That's pretty still, unless you roll it down a hill or throw it in a lake. That's still. In Joshua 10 and verse 12, we hear Joshua asking the Lord to make the sun and the moon stand still, to stop where they were. In Psalm 4:4, we're challenged to meditate within our hearts on our beds and be still. Selah. Meditate on this. Psalm 37:7, rest or be still in the Lord. And in Psalm 131:2, the psalmist said, "Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul. I have stilled my soul." We all need to recognize that unless we are still, we may very well miss the still, small voice of the Lord speaking to us. Now, being still does not mean being lazy, does not mean being complacent, but it means finding that time to be still in body and mind and soul and spirit. A time of quietness, a time of waiting before the Lord requires patience. Requires seeing the value and the necessity of stillness. And you may be saying, "Mark, you don't understand. I don't have time." I could tell you, I don't have time. But you know, I've been challenged about that recently, and I've been thinking about what is it that I'm spending time doing that I could be spending time in stillness before the Lord. I dare say we all have those things. I have been convicted in my own heart of what I might go to in a moment of boredom. It's interesting, now you go and you're standing in line. Used to, you'd just stand there. Now, you pull your phone out, and you're not just standing there, you're busy on your phone, right? Maybe I need to just keep my phone in my pocket and be still and quiet for a few moments before the Lord. Some of us say, "Mark, I feel guilty when I get still. There's too much to do. I need to be active. I need to be serving the Lord. I need to be whatever." And that's true. But it's worth it, because we don't want to miss that still, small voice. In order to hear the still, small voice of the Lord, we must be still. And secondly, we must be small. We live in a busy world. We also live in a world that either puffs us up or tries to knock us down so that we want to puff ourselves up. We have a tendency in our old man, our old woman, toward pride, toward arrogance, toward self-centeredness, to the place where I am big. And though everybody else may tell me I'm not big, inside myself there's something that's saying, "You're big. And the world revolves around you, and you're the center character in what's going on in this big old world." We've got to beware even the pride of humility. We've got to watch out for the largeness of supposed servanthood. We need to be on guard about the exaltation of willingly playing second fiddle, maybe. Because what's on the outside doesn't always reveal what's on the inside. The old me is a big shot. The old me wants the focus of my attention, even if nobody else's. If nobody else will pay attention to me, me wants to pay attention to me. But I need to get small. One interesting definition I found of small, it was really in a I was getting a slang definition. I'm going to give you that too. But they also had an interesting definition of small. Being of slight consequence. consequence, feeble in influence or importance, unimportant, trivial, insignificant. Get small. To get small is American slang for to disappear or to hide. I didn't know that. But if somebody goes away, they get smaller. They're going away. So I need to get small. Get small before God. I need to be like in Exodus 16:14, the same word there. The manna was a small, same word, small round substance as fine, again, the same word there in the Hebrew, as fine as frost on the ground. That's small. In Leviticus 16:12, we read about the incense, the sweet incense that the high priest would take in on the Day of Atonement inside the veil. It was beaten fine. And that little phrase, beaten fine, is the translation of the word small here that we have in 1 Kings 19 about the voice of the Lord. Beaten fine. And in Isaiah 40 and verse 15, this is in the eyes of God. The nations are as a drop in a bucket and are counted as the small dust on the scales. Look, He lifts up the isles as a very little thing. That's a word for small. In the eyes of God, the great islands of our earth, they're small. They're a very little thing. And compared to God, I know it, that I'm small, but I need to be reminded of that. It's not that He doesn't care about me because I'm so small. He does. But if I don't see myself as small, I'm going to tend not to see my need of Him so much. I'm going to be like the rich man that the Lord Jesus said, it's hard for him to enter into the kingdom of God. It's hard for him to be saved. Why? Because he's relying on his riches. And if I'm a big shot in my own eyes, then I don't see my need to rely on the Lord, to listen to Him. I'm small and God is infinitely big. I need to listen carefully to what He has to say to me. May I never again act as if I am too big to need to listen to God. Never again act as if I am too big to need to stop to trust God in my smallness for small things. And as Elijah would receive ongoing direction in my life, in order to hear the still small voice, I must be small. So the question comes to me and to you, do we really want to hear the still small voice of the Lord speaking to us? It was interesting, in that moment He only spoke to Elijah. Many other times He spoke to great groups of people, not this time, it was to one man. And there are times when He wants to speak to you. You see, God's able to speak to all of us individually at the same time because He's God. If you really want to hear that, if I really want to hear Him speaking to me in His still small voice, then I must make time to willingly be still. And I must see myself in my true smallness before God. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your patience. Lord, I thank You for Your patience with me, the times that I have not been willing to slow down because I had too much to do for You, Lord. I had to serve You. I didn't have time to stop and be still. Lord, I confess those times that I thought I was so important that I just had to be serving You and that people couldn't get along without me, so I didn't have time to be small and to stop and to listen for what You might be saying. I thank You for Your forgiveness. Thank You for cleansing me from all unrighteousness. And Lord, I thank You for Your faithfulness and Your grace and continuing to want to speak to me. Lord, thank You for Your Word. Father, I pray that I would be faithful to even in my times of quietness before You, that I would truly be still. And I would truly be small. And I would hear Your voice speaking to me through the Scriptures in ways that maybe I would have missed in my regular devotion time, in my regular prayer time. Thank You, Father, for the example of Elijah. Thank You for speaking to him in a still small voice. And we thank you for speaking to us. You are so gracious. And we love you because you first loved us and asked these things in the name of the Son of your love, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you. Listen closely.